story is told about a elderly man and his wife was out for a Sunday drive, and he was going up this road. It was a blacktop road, and he was cruising along about 40 miles an hour, and a chicken passed him. And that guy turned to his wife and he said, "Am I seeing things, or did that chicken have three legs?" She said, "That chicken had three legs." They watched that chicken in the distance off up of a road, and it turned down a lane, a farm back there. And so they just followed that chicken in there, and an old farmer walked out, and he said, "Sir, I'm sorry to bother you," but he said, "I thought I saw a three-legged chicken pass me and come in the lane here." The old farmer said, "Well, just to quiet your curiosity, you did see a three-legged chicken come in here." And he said, "Well, tell me about it." He said, "Well, I have a lot of three-legged chickens around here." He said, "My wife and I have been married for many years, and her and I have always loved chicken legs. And our children were born. We had six of them, and they all loved chicken legs. And the grandchildren were born, and they loved chicken legs. And now the great-grandchildren love chicken legs." And he said, "Some years ago, I began to do a little bit of experiment." And he said, "I come up with a three-legged chicken." And the guy in the car said, "Are they good chicken legs?" The old farmer said, "I don't know. I haven't caught one of them yet." Well, it's good to be with you. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 13. Thank you, Brother Van Horn, for that message. And thank you for greasing the pole a little bit. Amen. I think, and I know, and well, we don't think, we know, that as we've already heard, that we're living in perilous times. And certainly, without a doubt, God's men must be on the defensive, because the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that takes you and I in, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter who we are. We need to beware. You would be reminded with me this morning, you need not turn to it, but you're reminded that there are a lot of warnings in the Word of God for you and I. And there's a lot of escapes in the Word of God for you and I also. And I reminded the Lord of that, and had for years, over the years, of 1 Corinthians 10:13. Kind of felt like He wrote that for me, if you know what I mean. But I'm reminded of one of those warnings in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, where it says, "Brethren." And all of those words are in caps. So to me, like, that's a great big, "Brethren, wake up." "Brethren," he says, "if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." There's the warning. There's the warning. I think we can find a tempting here in 1 Kings chapter 13 before us today. In 1 Kings 13, and look at verse 21 as we pick up a text there. "And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee." I don't know about you, but to me that's kind of right at the point. Amen. I think it's clear. I believe that it's concise. I believe that it's open. I don't think there's anything hard to be understood about that very thing. And this is a very sad story that is before us here this morning, if you would please. But I believe that it's also a story, beloved, that has had its fulfillment time and time again in the lives of the men of God. And we know that personally. And it's always sad to see those who were once mightily used of the Lord in bringing souls to Christ, in preaching the Word of God, and now they have been tripped up, if you would please, through the temptation of falling prey to him who is that one as a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. even though the lion, if you would please, slew this prophet of God, he was not permitted to devour or to eat the prophet. Look at verse 25, if you would, please. Verse 25 says, "And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt." Now, I believe that 1 Kings 13 and verse 26 shows us that there was, without a doubt, beloved, an element of disobedience here that produced all of this thing in this particular passage of Scripture that we have before us. And we read plenty about disobedience in the Word of God, if you would please. I'm reminded this morning, as you are, as you read and study and know the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit has enlightened us to that and hid the Word of God in our heart, that we might not sin against the Lord, that we read in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." But there are seven things that I would like to share with you this morning, if you would please, by the help of the Spirit of Almighty God, about this unfortunate man, if you would, of God, that we need to look at and heed ourselves also this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we want you to have the honor and glory and praise this morning. We want you to just take over this service, Lord, and speak to our hearts. And Lord, that as we see the Word of God and know the Word of God and know exactly what takes place, Lord, we realize that Satan is very cunning and crafty in his ways. So Lord, I pray that pride might not swell up in our hearts and lives, but that we might humble ourselves before the mighty Word of God, that He might lift us up in due time. Bless your Word, Holy Spirit of God, we do pray in Jesus' name. We ask these things with thanksgiving. Amen. Number one, I would have you to know about this man of God that he was a believer. He was a believer. In verse 1, it says of 1 Kings 13, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah." He was a man of God. As a matter of fact, you very well know, preachers, that 13 times in this chapter alone that he is called the man of God. The man of God. And that's important, if you would, please. Now, he was not a man of the world, whose portion was in this world and in this life, but he was one who had personal dealings with Almighty God Himself. Now, folks, I believe without a doubt that his heart and life belonged to God. I believe that he was dedicated to God. I believe that he was sold out to God. Hallelujah. You know, I was listening to Brother Van Horn there and wondering myself, and I don't know about you, brother, but on Sunday nights it seems like it's kind of like trying to pull hen's teeth to get people to come to church. And I just always have had ingrained within me over the past 40 years that we just go to church, bless God, on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and Sunday school and church and revival and whatever's going on, missions conference, we go. And I like that, but boy, I tell you today, it's sure different. Without a doubt, it's different. Simply because I suppose that the world has so much to offer, the Christian world, that they don't have time for God. Well, as we look at the Word of God here and consider what's taking place, and this man and his portion was not in the world, not in this life that he was living, he belonged to God. It reminds me of a scripture in 2 Timothy 2:4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, this man of God that we're talking about here today in 1 Kings 13 was not just a mere professor or a time server, if you would please, but he was a true servant of the Most High God. James chapter 1 says this. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, James was a servant of God. James was not a celebrity. We have enough celebrities running around, and it don't take long to turn the television on to find one or two of them, amen? And, you know, you heard about Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. They were going to merge their ministries together, but they couldn't come up with a name except Copenhagen. Well, anyway, but James was a servant. He was not a celebrity. Now, we are to be, as pastors, as men of God, if you would please, we are to be as under-towers. You may have seen the pictures of the old slave ships, and you might have three rows of where the oars come out, you know. Well, the pastor is the one on the bottom. He's the under-shepherd, you see, is what he is. And I know that you have a heart for people and a heart for their problems, and you pray for them and work for them and do what you can, and it breaks your heart, you see. But a servant is a person that stands and waits on them, if you would please. So this man was a true believer, without a doubt. Secondly of all, this man had a message. In verse 1, it says, he came by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. He had a message. He had something to give. He had something to say. He did it under the authority of the very word of Almighty God. He was not a commentator. He was not a counselor, beloved, or just some cocky dude who was a showman, or he was someone who carried the burden of the Word of Almighty God, and he had a heavy burden upon him, but he didn't turn around and take the law and lay a heavy burden upon someone and say, you do this, I'll live that way. In other words, we're going to live according to the Word of God. We're going to go by His precepts and His commandments. And all I can say is this man of God here, he just gave this message, you see. Beloved, this man here had a ministry committed to him by the Lord, and he was an ambassador, as you and I are to be ambassadors, and he had a ministry, beloved, of warning and condemnation of do right or else God's going to zap you. I have at times wished I was God. Did you ever want to zap somebody? I have. I've wanted to zap people, boy. You cockroach, you, if you don't straighten out, I'm going to zap you. You know what I'm saying? Preacher, missionary, evangelist, no man had any more of a sure calling of God upon his life than this man did right here. A sure calling of God. You think back when God called you and what He did. You know, a man of God is one whom God has lifted up and fitted them as a vessel, if you would please, for His own use, committing to him his own precious treasure. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, you see. There's where the power's at. And what else does the Word of God warn us about? I think Brother Van Horn used it, if I'm not mistaken. It was Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. There's where it's at. And folks, that takes fellowship with God. That takes time to talk to God and ask His leading and His everything about it, you see. What are we without Him? I'm nothing. I can't lift a finger or wag a tongue or blink an eye without God. That's all there is to it. But the message ought to be clear and it should be plain, beloved. Christ still receiveth sinful men. I don't care whether it's the prostitute, the derelict, the drunkard, the dope addict, or whoever it might be. Christ still receiveth sinful men, even me in all my sin. Oh, beloved, He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. And then thirdly of all, this man, if you would please, he was a man of courage. Because look at verse 2, if you would please, he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. He had a little bit of courage, I'd say. So what did he do? He testified with a loud voice against this altar built by Jeroboam as a rival of Jehovah's altar, you see. And he did it while the king stood by. Boy, I'd take some courage, amen, when you know that the king could zap him in a hurry too and do away with him. Just like Nathan back in the Old Testament, the prophet of God, the seer of God, cried out against another king's sin, David by name, and as he must have stuck his bony finger into David's face and said, "Thou art the man." He used four words, "Thou art the man." Bathsheba used four words, "I am with child." What a strong message that must have been, beloved. And I know that Nathan could have died and David could have put him down. He could have had him slain without a doubt. He was the king. I recall a lady in my church at Caesarea. One day I was up ranting and raving and carrying on like I do sometimes against people sending their tithe to some of these evangelists on television. And I was saying something to the effect, and I'd have done it many times, but I said, "Now listen, if you want to send your tithe to these evangelists, don't you call me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when you're laying up the hospital dying, or when you got a loved one up there, you call that sucker and see if he'll come out here." And I was going and carrying on. And I was talking about smoking them dirty cigarettes, which I sucked for 14 years of my own life. And I know what a drug they are. I don't think cigarettes will send you to hell, but they'll make you smell like you've been there. And you know, I had a woman one time, and she said, getting back to this other one, but they had one woman she smoked, and I visited her one day in her church. She said, "Why don't you shut up about cigarettes?" She said, "You're only preaching like that because you know I smoke." Well, I wasn't preaching because of her. But I come to find out this woman in my church, she had a small business. She was sending $1,500 a month down to Robert Tilton down at Dallas. Robert Tilton. Because she had a grandson down in Virginia who had been hit on a bicycle. And he was a vegetable, virtually. And the next week, what made this so interesting, the next week, one of the major news, I don't know, was ABC, NBC, it doesn't matter, CBS, they came out with a special on this Robert Tilton down in Dallas. They had film, they got it on film, showing that they were taking all of the letters that came in, and they wouldn't pray over the letters. They just take the letters and the envelopes, or if there's any money or checks, they put that in one pile, and they throw the rest of it in the trash. And they caught them filling bins and bins of trash bins of letters. And they put that on the television, and she saw it. She came to me, and she apologized. She said, "Preacher, our tithe will be much more than it ever was now." Well, bless God, we got to preach the Word of God. Amen. Oh, how the Word of God must have dug in and does dig in, and it convicts people. I know the Holy Spirit does His job. I think of Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 in verse 6 when they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. He did. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, we read, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Bless God, men, let's continue to do that. The things that we've seen and heard and what God has accomplished in our lives and how He's worked mightily. Just as Jesus did in John chapter 4 and verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." She said, "Give me this water. Give me this water." I love good drinking water. Amen. And I can think back when I was a kid when Mama used to take a cheesecloth and put it on the old pump outside and wrap it around there and tie a string around it, and we'd pump water out of the thing for a week. At the end of the week, she'd take it off and shake all the bugs and greeblies out of it and throw it in the wash and wash it on the washboard and get it clean and put it back on that pump. And that was good water, amen. Had a tin cup hanging on the pump. Oh, you've never been blessed unless you're just a kid and you think back and think, you know, just a little kid. You ever see a little kid grab a pump and pump handle and pump and jump up and down and pump and pump and knock yourself in the head with the pump handle? Oh, that's a blessing. Well, something else here about this man of God. The fourth thing was he was a man of power. He was a man of power. Now, God bore witness to His testimony by signs and wonders, and He did this by the stiffening of the king's arm and hand, which was stretched out to, verse 4 says, "lay hold on him," and also in the rending of the altar and the spilling of the ashes. Some of you older folks remember what ashes were, right? You always put them in the driveway. Except it's my job to get the clinkers out of the stove, too. Some of you kids don't know what a clinker is, do you? Never heard of a clinker, did you? Well, you got some fond memories. Now, signs following are always, beloved, of an evidence that the man is not serving God in his own strength. Signs and wonders is God moving and doing things in people's lives. I love to see new converts and see them get on fire for Christ. I love to see them grow in the Lord. Now, this man had power, if you would please, for service because he spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, ask yourself this question. Am I doing that? Am I doing that? Beloved God, when God works through His servants, it is definitely a wonder work. Mark 16 and verse 15, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." You think about it, and think about missions. Brother Van Horn was talking about that. And think about what an opportunity that we have of getting the Word of God out today. Number five, this man. He was a man of self-denial. After praying for the restoration of the king's hand, you see he had power in prayer, amen? And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The king asked him in verses 7 through 9, look at it, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest, he says. That reminds you, just like Elijah, if you would please. He would receive nothing. He would receive no gift whatsoever. And he was in the work of the Lord. He was used by God, but he knew what it was to deny himself, and like the Apostle Paul, and take up his cross daily and follow him, you see. Surely such a mighty man, such as this, will never fail. But the Bible says, but alas, alas. Now, number 6, he fell through a false professor. He fell to that temptation because of a false professor. Now, this old ex-prophet, if you would please, was a liar, and he pretended that an angel had spoken to him. Look at verse 18, if you would please. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Now it's noteworthy for us here gathered today, if you would please, that at the first, the man of God refused. At the first, he refused. But being tired and being hungry, without a doubt, the devil seemed to take advantage of his physical weakness. And so he was finally, you see, beloved, persuaded to turn aside from the revealed will of God and to obey the invention of man and invitation of men. The temptation was hard for him, but he had his marching orders. He had a revelation from God, and should not have been turned aside by any private interpretation of men. In obeying this false prophet, if you would please, he must have been conscious that in his conduct, he was contradicting the deeper convictions of his own soul, you see. Our problem is that much of the time we are always, as the young lawyer was in justifying himself. But the Scriptures say nothing to you and I about justifying ourselves. The Scripture says if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God, you see. Men, let's not listen to those prophets who would make us vain by ministering to the lusts of the flesh, because Jeremiah says in 23:16, they speak only a vision of their own heart. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. Folks, there is one mark, I believe, by which you can know them, and that is, says Jeremiah, is lightness. LIGHTNESS in Jeremiah 23:32. They have little reverence, if you would please, for the Word of God or the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, and they try, if possible, to deceive the very elect. This man went back and it cost him his life because a lion met him and killed him. And it was the end of his testimony, if you would please, for the Word of God. And I want to tell you again this morning, if I could please, by the grace of Almighty God, that the influence of false teachers makes men less faithful to God and His Word. And by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen. I was into Walmart yesterday to pick up a few things. I met a Nazarene preacher, and I really like him. He's nice. He's in the National Council of Churches, but if you want to be in the National Council of Churches, that's okay. I'm not. And he was asking me how things are going. I said, good, good. And, you know, looking for a young preacher for the work there. And what God would have for us. I'll keep on keeping on as long as God gives me the strength. I'll do what God wants me to do. And he said something to affect you. Well, I know this guy that used to be a pastor down at Mohicanville Community Church. Red light went on. He said, maybe you can talk to John Bouquet. A light went on. Maybe you can talk to Pastor McCourt. A light went on. He said, these are all independent fundamental Baptist churches. I said, no. I said, I know, but I knew in my own heart that they do some things I wouldn't do. I'm sorry, I'm not into Promise Keepers. If you want to be into Promise Keepers, go ahead. Do what you want to do. If you want to be a member of the National Council of Churches or whatever else you want to do in the county flip and flip, whatever that might be, go ahead. I don't care. You're supposed to be independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, and you're self-supporting, self-propagating, and self-governing. Do what you want to do. But don't tell me what to do. Lastly of all, number 7, he was mourned over by the one who deceived him. Look at verse 30, if you would, please. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. Well, I believe with all my heart that old prophet needed to mourn after alluring him into the net of destruction. I think of that false prophet much. And even here was this man of God buried in the same grave. And I suppose that old prophet was probably buried in the same grave with him. But I don't think that, like it was in the Old Testament in another case, that he came alive when they got together. Amen. Well, being buried in the grave of a disobedient prophet certainly will not have an influence. And even though they will come up at the resurrection, let's not be lured into the things that would destroy us. Verse 30 says, alas, my brother. How shall they fare in the presence of Almighty God Himself, the judge of all the earth, the judge of all men, who knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart? Take heed, and I preach to myself, how you stand, how you preach. Take heed to the convictions by the Word of God. Take heed how you hear. And stand fast in the truth of Almighty God. And let's stay on the line and not get off into the field. Amen. Let's rightly divide the word of truth. And somebody said that's cutting the pie straight. Amen. Cut her straight, brethren and sisters. Keep on keeping on. Lord, thank you for your word.
Thank you for this opportunity to share together and encourage one another the things of God. Guide our lives, Lord Jesus, as we give them over to you, and certainly you're due all the glory, and we want you to have it, Lord, all the praise. And we ask it all in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.